great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players as we explore tone and the gear that gets it. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. We have a great show tonight. A very good friend and amazing guitar player is Jim Stubblefield's with us. But before I get into that, I just want to see how everything's going with you, Scott. You've been pretty busy this week.
Yeah, actually, just got done finishing the demo that I planned to have last week. But actually, I'm glad that I took the longer time to finish it because it really got to go in depth into the Electro-Harmonics Big Muff Pi with Tonewicker. So try to definitely show what the sustain knob does, the tone knob, the tone bypass, and the Tonewicker knob. So to show all the different tones you can get from that. And I've got a small sample here people can listen to. Jeff, cue that up. That's just the Big Muff going into a Fender 57 Custom Twin with a Gibson 335. So
yeah, I checked it out the other day when you had posted it, and the bypass makes a big difference. You could demonstrably hear the difference in the gain. The wicker kind of thing, the wicker switch was kind of cool because you could really smooth out that fuzz with that tone switch.
Yeah, it's a very versatile pedal. Takes that classic fuzz and makes it. You know, just
it gives you more versatility in how to adjust it.
Very cool, very cool. So what have you been up to?
Actually, I this week I've been working on with Jim's material, cutting some clips that we're going to play tonight. Really cool stuff. And, well, actually, let me get right into it right now.
Well, before I play that, let me just remind everybody to call in 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. To call and ask a question to Jim, and also you can join our chat room on our website, www.flowguitarenthusiast.com.
So. Great. And what's happening today is Jim just released a new piece, and it's called Reaching for Infinity. It's on Amazon, iTunes, Reverb Nation. It's a single that he released, but what's significant about it is he's going into some other areas. You know, traditionally, Jim's been known as the principal guitarist in Incendio. He's played a lot of nylon string guitar, and he's known mostly for that. But actually, we're going to get into this, his influence was he was actually an electric player, first off. And he's got some interesting influences in progressive rock, jazz fusion, and we're going to talk about that too. But this song is his kind of a debut almost of him using electric guitar, which is going to follow up. I'm going to give you a little sneak preview. There is another thing happening with Incendio. Their new album's coming out next month, and they're using electric guitar there too. So it's going to be kind of interesting because they're moving into a whole new direction in their music style. So anyway, let me play this clip, and then I'll go back and go more into introducing Jim, but I think it'll be this is really an interesting thing. And notice when he's playing the background guitars, the rhythm guitars are steel string, and then the lead is nylon string. So here we go. Thank you. such a cool piece. And also, too, if you listen, we were listening in the background, there's a, like a, it's a, I was going to ask Jim about this anyway, there's like a little mandolin thing going on there, and he's playing bass on that, too. So it's showing a whole other dimension to what his capabilities as a musician. He's playing a lot of different instruments and exploring new sounds. So I just want to welcome Jim Stubblefield. Thanks so much for being on the show tonight. It's really a pleasure to have you here.
Well, it's an honor to be on here. I thank both of you guys for giving me the opportunity.
It's just great stuff. And also, too, I want to really mention, we're going to get into some of these clips, too. His newest album is the, it's called Inspiration. I don't know how to say it with a Spanish accent.
Inspiracion.
Okay, there you go. Anyway, we're going to play some clips of that and talk about his tone. Now, just to give everybody a little bit of a background on you, let's talk a little bit about your electric background, because most people just don't have this, heard you on your nylon string, and I think it's important for them to realize your real roots.
I really fell in love with electric guitar when I was a kid, of course, hearing Beatles and the Beach Boys and things like that, and then I moved on very quickly to bands like ELO and Kansas, Genesis, and stuff like that, and I was like, oh my gosh, this music is amazing. And what's amazing is when I first heard an overdriven guitar, I didn't know it was an overdriven guitar. You know, I was like 8, 9 years old, and I thought it was a violin or something. I remember Al Di Meola's Land of the Midnight Sun, which I think came out in 76 or something. Mm-hmm. My mom had the record, and I thought, oh, gosh, that's a really cool violin sound. And later I was like, no, that's an electric guitar. So I immediately said, I have to play that instrument that sounds, you know, it sounds like that. And so I spent, you know, many years just playing electric, you know, just pretty much everything that, you know, I could get my hands on that showcased electric guitar. And I gravitated towards more of the progressive stuff, of course. I mean, I really loved Rush. I really loved Genesis. I loved Yes. I loved The Dregs, UK with Alan Holdsworth. I mean, all that stuff was just so amazing to me. But, you know, around 1980, early 80s, I'd heard John McLaughlin and Di Meola and Paco de Lucia play the Friday Night in San Francisco, which was just like, oh my gosh, they're playing that on acoustic guitar. And I was like, okay, well, now I got to learn how to play that. And, you know, so I kind of got a taste of it back in the early 80s of like, oh, you know, the acoustic guitar, that's also really cool. Of course, you know, Stairway to Heaven, too. You know, there's a lot of acoustic guitar on that, too.
Yes.
But, yeah, my roots definitely come from an electric guitar background.
Now you play a lot of electric guitar. You might not, on your main records, you've been playing mostly nylon string, but you do a lot of electric guitar. And, in fact, I first got to hear you play electric guitar on one of our little jam sessions that we used to have, and I was just pretty blown away because totally was different than what I've heard with, you know, in context with Incendio. But what I wanted to ask you is the differences. How do you adjust playing from electric to acoustic? I know for me, when I did session work, playing different styles in guitars, banjos, mandolins, it was hard to go from the different instruments sometimes, especially that I had to kind of get everything to an even gauge. I had to change my strings so they all were pretty much in the pocket. But what difficulties and how did you overcome those difficulties transitioning from electric to nylon string?
Actually, we talked a little bit about this before the show. Yeah, that's definitely one of the things when you talk about string gauges. I actually, when I started trying to switch back and forth between the nylon string, the steel string, and the electric, is I found that I had to bring the gauge up on the electrics. Because when I was playing a nylon string or a steel string, and then I switch over to an electric guitar, it was too slinky. So I ended up bringing some of my electrics up to 10s or even 11s because I just found 9s were too loose coming from playing. Because there was a period of time in the late 90s, for about 5 years, I actually had sold all my electrics because I wanted to buy some really high-end acoustics, and I couldn't afford to have both. So there was like 5 or 6 years went by, and I didn't own an electric guitar. And then when I finally went back and I bought some Paul Reed Smiths, and I was like, okay, this is really cool. I gotta always have electric guitar, but that's one of the things I did. Another thing I had to do is I had to adjust my technique, because coming from an electric guitar background, is I found myself having my hand in the wrong position in terms of physical tension, because when the neck is so much smaller on electric, you try to play with that same kind of hand angle, where maybe you're kind of favoring the hand towards your index finger, using your thumb as a fulcrum to bend, and you try to play a 2-inch wide neck on a nylon string, you're asking for tendonitis, or at least I was. And I found I had to really work on kind of twisting my arm around to try to play a little more straight onto the neck. And of course, when I bend, I still use the thumb as a fulcrum, but that was a huge change for me. It took me a long, long time to reposition my hand so that I could move between a flat top, you know, steel string, a nylon string, and an electric. And it's still an ongoing battle. They're really different instruments, I find.
What kind of finger exercises did you do to get yourself to go between those?
Oh, gosh.
I mean, you've got a guitar there, so you can kind of show some of what you were doing.
Well, like, for instance, I would do stuff where I would, of course, I would just try to do stuff where I'd isolate fingers and concentrate and keep my hand is kind of on a plane with the neck as possible. So, you know, of course, the chromatic exercises. And then sometimes I do stuff with just like my second, third, and fourth finger. And then sometimes I do stuff with just I pick a group of fingers like my second and third. And I do fourth and third. And go all the way up and down the neck where I'm only using my third and fourth finger to try to get that balance. I wanted my third and fourth to be just as strong as my first and second.
Now, I want to interject here while he was playing those examples. He has his thumb in the center of the back of the neck. So he's using, his fingers are basically at like a 90 degree angle to where the strings are. And I remember when I was in school with Duke Miller over at SC, that was the trick to get so you could reach and do these really cool reaches that you do a lot when you're playing in Incendio and in your solo work. So he's using that. And what he's talking about when he does the bending, the blues bending, we have a tendency to put our thumb over the top of the fret to hang it over, like you see country players playing like a bar G like that, and you use that, which gives you leverage, so you can use the thumb to hold to base yourself, and then you can push your other string, your other finger up to bend the string. And that's where he was talking about, he was getting, because playing like that, when you're doing the kind of scales that he was doing right there, if you have your thumb up there, it's really hard to reach, and that would cause the tendonitis. Mm-hmm. So he's playing when he does, and also too, I just want to note, when if you look at his videos on YouTube under Jim Stubblefield, you'll see him play some stuff even on the Paul Reed Smith, and when he's doing those real fast runs, watch where his thumb is. You can kind of see that it's behind in the center of the neck, which gives him that speed. That's the secret, especially doing those scales where he's playing, you know, he's doing an interval of 5 frets or something like that. That really helps to do that. So I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, I mean, I suffered from a lot of tendonitis switching over, and it was maddening because I really wanted to try to play most of what I could do on the electric guitar. I wanted to play it on the acoustic. I remember I read years ago Steve Morse in an interview. He said, well, I really wanted to be able to play just about everything that I could play on an electric guitar. I wanted to be able to also do that on an acoustic. And that really resonated with me, you know, because it was really frustrating to say, well, I only want to play if I can play an electric, because I sound really, you know, I can't play anything on the acoustic guitar. So I tried to balance those two. And like you said, with doing the string gauges, I think you had mentioned Lee Ritenour, maybe you'd done that, is so you're not, it's not super drastic because you're already dealing with the thickness of the body of a guitar. So the way the guitar sits in your lap when you're dealing with a nylon string, the width of it versus a Strat, that's already enough of a shock switching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like you try to minimize as much of that as possible.
Yeah, what we were discussing was, for example, we were talking about difference, like, for example, a Les Paul or a Strat feel. If, like, on my Les Paul, I have 10s, but on the Strat, I use 9s because the scale's different. But the 9s feel like the 10s. And then when I would use my jazz guitar, my Barney Kessel, for a session, and Lee was the one who told me about this because he did it on his L5, he used 10s on there because he had to change guitars in a session. He'd have to play a jazz lead and go back and play on his electric. And, you know, using 11s or 12s and then going to 10s, it's hard on your hands. So, and the same thing, when you're playing different instruments, like even my banjo, I tried to set the gauge so it was very close to what the guitar gauges were, so that everything was kind of in the same pocket, and that's what we're talking about there. But let me ask you too, we were talking about this earlier, the differences, like when you were telling me about the differences when you approach nylon string live, playing with an ensemble, as opposed to like playing electric guitar in ensemble. Can you go into that a little bit, how they differ for you? You know, obviously electric guitar has more sustain.
Right. Yeah, that was also another thing, because coming from an electric guitar background, especially as opposed to playing in an ensemble situation, so it's not like a polyphonic, like you're playing classical guitar where you're playing very polyphonically. You know, your thumb and your other fingers are all there to try to fill it out. When you're playing in an ensemble, we're essentially looking at the guitar as a single note instrument, at least as an instrumental group. You've got an electric guitar, if you have overdrive, you've got sustain, so of course when you play lines, it's going to inform your playing. You know, if you've got a lot of sustain, like a Santana tone or whatever, and you're playing a lead or a melody, you're going to be able to take advantage of that. On a nylon string guitar or a steel string guitar, you generally aren't going to have the same way of, you're not going to be able to hit a note and just have it sing. So what ends up often you have to do is you just have to approach your melodies differently. Especially if I'm writing a song that I know is going to be played on an acoustic guitar, I'll write a different kind of melody. And I know you have examples that you've queued up, but I'll have to play probably a melody that has maybe more notes in it, as opposed to if the melody is an electric guitar melody, because you've got the sustain. It can be in a lot of ways, it can be very vocal. So you can hit a note and have it last for a while and then move to the next note. In an ensemble situation with an acoustic guitar, that note can die out, you know, before you even start.
Yeah, especially in a live situation. And also, too, it's loud in, you know, the band cranking behind you with rhythm section, a lot of percussion, which you guys use a lot of percussion. It's hard to cut through.
Yeah, when I write a song, I'll often say, well, is this going to be played on acoustic or is this going to be an electric song? And if it's going to be an electric song, often the melody might be less busy because, you know, you've got sustain.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I wanted to ask you that, you know, I always find interesting, someone that's in a mainstream band and then also does a solo record, how do you, when you write that music for either the band or for solo record, how do you distinguish from each one, make each one unique, and then also not feel like you're stealing from the other? So, saving the good song for Incendio or vice versa.
Well, that actually came up. I would say when I had recorded some solo projects before I had met JP and Lisa in Incendio up to about 1998, I'd done several solo projects, Cities of Gold, Rhythm of the Heart. And then once, you know, we started writing together as a band and writing individually, but essentially that collective writing would essentially go towards the next Incendio project. There was like, oh my gosh, let's see, there's like a 9-year gap or something between when I started recording with Incendio and when I finally did Guitarra Exotica, because that's exactly what would happen. I'd say, okay, I'm going to earmark this for my solo project. I'm going to earmark that. And like, perfect example, the self-titled Incendio album, Malaga Sunset, I'm thinking of a bunch of tunes. Those were all written originally for my first solo album since Incendio existed. Okay, these were songs. And then when the label in London said, okay, you know, we want you to do a record, JP and Lisa came to me and said, all right, what songs do you have for us? And so I went, these songs. So, you know, and that happened like a couple times. And so finally I had to just say, these are the ones for my solo album. But that was really more a matter of like, because we are kind of in the same genre, I really felt the way that I could distinguish myself, because I write, you know, 40% of Incendio's music and 33%. I mean, we all write it. We share the writing between the three of us, Lisa, JP, and I. And we co-write together in various combinations. It's in the production, because I have certain aesthetics that I like. And so with Incendio's music, we tend to record those albums at Lisa and JP's house. I do solos at my house, and I'll bring them in on a hard drive. But for Guitarra Exotica and Inspiración, I recorded those at my house with my mics and made my mistakes. You know, and I hired, you know, different players to play, you know, Randy Tico on percussion, Brian Brock on percussion, Randy Tico on bass, Ruben Ramos on bass. So I deliberately hired different people to play in my ensemble because they're going to bring something different. Because, of course, I just didn't want to say, oh, here's Incendio without them, because it wouldn't be. But, you know, because the songs are similar in terms of the style, I had to say it's going to be in the production.
Well, that the let me ask you this, because I know JP, I've known him since he was a little guy. And what you envisioned as a solo, a specific song that ended up on an Incendio album, you had an idea what it, you wanted it to sound like. How much did JP and Lisa change that? Where did it go, and what did you...
Oh, that's a great question, and it's kind of like I tend to, like, when I write a song, especially in this kind of acoustic fusion style, world guitar, whatever you want to call it, I tend to go for the more, I guess, I try to go for as organic as possible, just because, you know, I like the progressive rock and all the crazy, like, mellotrons and all that, but when I do this stuff, I really like it stripped down. But JP and Lisa have such a knack for marrying, you know, they can do super stripped down stuff, and we've got stuff that they produced, like Loretana and stuff, that's just super stripped down, three guitars, nothing. But they also have such big ears, and they're listening to Buda Bar stuff and European trance. And so, you know, I brought a song called Duela a la Muerte to the band, and it was very much a kind of a rumba, you know, very acoustic, and, you know, the final production had loops on it, and all kinds of craziness that I wouldn't in a million years have thought of. But those kind of things are the kind of things that maybe, for better or for worse, set us apart in the genre of this kind of nylon string-driven instrumental music, which is a niche anyway, but there's a number of bands doing it. But there's certainly a vibe that we've had. And, I mean, the band now has been together for 14 years. We were formed in 99. So we've done a lot of records using a lot of different... When you've written your 100th song in the genre, you got to keep pushing the envelope and say, okay, are we going to keep re-recording the same album over and over again? And JP and Lee's are great about that. These are like, hey, why don't we put this in there? Why don't we put that? Stuff I would never have thought of.
Yeah, and I remember when JP told me he got that synthesizer guitar module and used it on, like, one of the openings when you open your show, and he's doing, like, these string pads off of it. It's like, that's pretty cool. But he also, too, where your background was kind of a prog rock and a kind of a jazz fusion thing, JP's background was more straight blues rock, which is kind of interesting. Even though your genre is very, like, Latin oriented with the guitars, I still hear them, like, sneak in some.
Yeah,
and blues.
And that's the thing I kind of skipped over, was the blues thing. And I think, I mean, I go back now and I listen to it, and, you know, I'll listen to Robin Ford, or I'll listen to, you know, Stevie or Jimi Hendrix, and I'll go, or Eric Clapton, and I'll go, you know, I need to really sit down and maybe try to learn that solo, just to get it under my fingers, to feel what it's like to phrase like that, because I went straight to, like, the Steve Hacketts and the Alan Holdsworths and stuff like that. I didn't go through that period of, I think the closest I came was, I think the first guitar solo I ever learned was Back in Black by Angus Young, you know, but I mean, other than that, I kind of steered towards the more progressive people, Alex Lifeson of Rush, and, you know, people like that.
Yeah, no, but I think one of the things that makes Incendio work is that, you know, those opposite ends, where you're coming from different places, but it works. So his blues background with your fusion and progressive background, it kind of is an interesting meld. And then Lisa's, she's into all sorts of different types of music.
20th century classical, and she studied, you know, she has a degree in classical guitar from Cal State Northridge. So you've got someone who plays bass live mostly with the band, who's got a degree in classical guitar and 20th century music sensibility. So, you know, she'll write some crazy melodies that I wouldn't even think of, in a million, you know, really chromatic and just really mysterious. So it's a fun combination of personalities.
She has some really bizarre instruments in their studio too. Really, I don't even know what you call them, but they're really cool.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting stuff. Let me go ahead and play a clip so you get this one. I literally like a lot because it has kind of a little prog sensibility. I like the melodic line on this. Is Conquistador, and this is from the Inspiración.
Good work.
There we go. I got it right. Very beautiful piece. I like the tone. Now, let me ask you about that. What were you using? Let's get into some equipment here. So which guitar were you using, and how did you mic that?
Oh, that was, let's see, that was my, I have a Pedro Maldonado Blanca from Malaga, Spain, and German spruce back and sides, and the top is, German spruce top, and the back and sides are Spanish Cypress, I think.
Oh wow, Cypress.
It's something okay. like that.
So it's a flamenco type.
Yeah, it's a flamenco guitar. It's a flamenco blanca guitar, and I used a Audio Technica 4033.
Mm-hmm.
I notice you have an Audio Technica here. so I have a 4033 on that, mic'd at the 12th fret, and I'm going through a Manly tube preamp, Manly from Chino, California.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice tube pre, and that's it. I just mono, no compression, one mic, about a foot from the 12th fret. Yeah.
So one, yeah, you got JP was telling me on his stuff, their solo stuff too, they use a single mic mm-hmm. a lot. But the sound is amazing, and I think because you're not compressing it or doing anything, it really cuts. It's real. It has a real natural sound to it. Let me ask you a little bit about effects. We're going to get into this a little bit more with your guitars because you use that a little bit more. Do you prefer effects like we took a picture of your effects pedal where you have stuff in line? Do you like it before, or do you like to use post effects when you mix? Do you tend to do more on your albums in post?
I've done both. Obviously, when I'm recording the nylon string or the steel string, I don't print the effects. I record okay. everything with just like the mic and just bone dry. And then I'll just add that in, like with a bus or whatever. I'll just bus the effects in. Sometimes I'll record like a keeper track with the electric. I'll record it mm-hmm. with the effects going. Or sometimes I'll record like a bunch of stuff, and then I'll be like, well, I'm going to leave the delay off because I want to tempo sync the delay, and I'll do that through my digital audio workstation. So I might just like record. I think that's what I did with the electric guitar solo on Reaching for Infinity. Is I recorded. I had some reverb on the amp that I printed, and but I added the digital delay through the program because it could be synced perfectly with the tempo of the track.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna play one more clip from Inspiración and the title clip, and then we're going to get into a little bit more. I have some special clips that Jim made for me of some electric stuff. So here's Inspiración. Beautiful piece. That's the title song from his latest solo album. Before we go into the electric guitar, is there anything else you want to mention? Let's talk real quick, briefly about some of your picking techniques and your because you're known for your speed on whether it's electric or acoustic guitar. Can you give us a little bit of a demo of are you using circle picking? Are you using any type of
I used the circle pick. I that's what I first did. I took jazz guitar lessons for a while, and I found the problem with that for me, and I played like that for a long time, was that I couldn't get any volume out of the acoustic instrument. If I was playing like a electric where I could turn up the volume or turn up the amp, but I found myself in jam sessions playing like a flat top, steel string guitar, and I was the only guy in the room, nobody could hear. So it's like I'm sitting there playing all these notes, and it's like you can't hear. I mean, the guy playing rhythm was louder than me. And I saw, I watched the Gypsy Jazz guys go, and those guys, they blast. And I found that the circle picking, using just the thumb and the index and moving the pick in a circle like that on an acoustic instrument, for me, I couldn't get any volume out of it. So I had to change my picking technique, and it took years. So I now hold the pick like in a traditional kind of fist grip, with the index finger curled, and then the pick kind of down. Mm-hmm. Very common grip now, but that was rough because I've been playing so many years the other way.
What gauge pick is that? A stiff pick?
This is a Jazz 3, which is a real common kind of pick a lot of guys use. It's a really stiff pick, but it's a small pick. And I've been lately using this company called Blue Chip Picks. They're pretty amazing. I don't know if you've heard of them, but The pick I have a couple of them, and they're both jazz. They're exactly shaped like this. They cost $50 each.
Wow.
The material that they use is apparently for a square just like the size of a brick or something, but a thin, but that kind of size is like $4,000 for that much of the material, and that's why it's so expensive. But a lot of like bluegrass players, I think Chris Thiele,
but they don't wear out.
They don't wear out, and they mimic tortoiseshell, which is now illegal. So I didn't bring that pick. I don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking I'll record with that pick. But you know, it's like, you know, okay, yeah, pick that costs $50. Is it really $50 better than the $1 pick? I don't know. It feels great. It looks cool. Yeah, I have my initials on it.
You use those live?
I know, because when I play, I use hand rhythms a lot. So I'll do like, you know, I'll switch between flat picking and then strumming with my, to get some of the South American rhythms. So I'll put the pick in my mouth, and every once in a while I'll miss and I'll drop the pick on the floor, and I don't need a $50 pick to get lost on stage. So well, I'll just use a jazz three.
Well, plus when the ladies are screaming for the pick, I mean, you got to throw them the pick.
Yeah,
so.
I can't throw them that. Yeah.
No, that. But could you give us a couple of riffs just to kind of show what you're doing? Because you're just doing a straight up and down fast up and
yeah,
down.
Yeah, you know, I'll do something like. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear Incendio live, it's just blistering, and it's just all over the place. He plays a lot of just really fast leads. It's great. It's really it's quite amazing. Okay, what I'm going to do right now, let's change a little bit. We're going to get back into your past. We're going to get into your sordid past. I'm going to play some examples of some of his electric playing, and this one is he's demoing. He's got a couple of Mesa Boogie amps, and I want to ask about the differences between those amps. This is the Express, and this is kind of interesting because he gets some really interesting overtones. I'm going to play that for you right now. That's the 50 watt stiletto, right, with the 6L6s in it.
That's not even. No, that's an Express. That's like a 20 watt amp with a 10 inch speaker.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
So you have the 6V6s.
I think it's Yale 34s even.
Really?
It's a tiny little amp. Oh,
I don't know this. I have to remember. Look up the specs.
I think it's literally only 20 watts.
Because it's got a sweet sound. Now you're just using the guitar into the amp, or are you using any?
No.
You're not using any processing.
The guitar's in the amp, and the gain's only like it. I think the gain's like it. Oh my gosh, it's only about 3/4 of the way up, and that's it. There's no pedals or anything, and it's like a 25 watt amp, and the speaker's a 10 inch, and I barely have it up. I have it probably. Just the volume, the master volume, barely on. It's not very loud.
Is that the Aldi Miola model, the PRS that you're using?
Oh yeah, that was the Aldi Miola model, you know, that I used.
Just the sustain is amazing. And then when he holds that note and he starts getting that harmonic feedback, that's pretty sweet. Now you also, I'll play in a minute a demo of the Mark V. What is your opinion of the differences between those two amps? Do you notice a major difference, or?
Well, there's certainly the sounds, like electric sounds, I have trouble getting on either of the amps, which is the sense that they both have a reason to be in my house, because the the Express gets a couple really kind of amazing kind of clean sounds that they're probably in the Mark V somewhere, but I can get it really quick with the Express. And then there's like I said on the Reaching for Infinity song, the lead sound at the end of the song is the Express. I can just get this really kind of round, sustaining sound without it sounding too edgy. But then the Mark V is really great for just like, you know, it's just a different sound because, you know, the Mark V has a little bit more edge on it, but then again, you can dial anything with those boogies. I mean, they're such great amps. You can do anything, I think.
Do you use the 5 band a lot on the Mark V?
I do. I don't think that anything that you have that features that I gave you, but the 5 band, especially set in the V, is like if you're going to just jam on some metal stuff, it's like the ultimate. You get the Metallica, Dream Theater, whatever, you get those tones like without even trying.
Oh, that's cool. Let me go ahead and play the Mark V lead so you guys can hear the difference here. This is the Mark V. Now you're not using the 5 band there. That's out of the circuit. Or?
Yeah, that's without the 5 band. The 5 band makes it even more focused, and for rhythm stuff, it's like great.
Now that's the Demiola too.
Yeah, I was too lazy to get the 24 custom 24. The custom 24 actually is more focused sounding. The Demiola is more round and broader sound, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Whereas my custom 24 is more focused, I guess. But they're both good. It depends on what you want.
Well, with the Mark V, you're getting more bite out of it. When you're using the treble pickup,
absolutely,
I could hear more of that kind of a crunchier, more of a bright rock sound. Also, too, I just want to mention on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Facebook page, we have pictures that Jim took of when he was doing these sessions, so you can see the actual layouts. I noticed in this last clip you were using a delay. Which delay were you using on that?
The TC, the blue TC pedal. I just have that.
Oh, the flashback?
The flashback.
Yeah.
And I have that. And I actually posted just the, you know, for whatever it's worth, I think I took photos of the actual, like, settings on the amp, like the,
yes,
like channel 3, and this is what I, you know. And what's amazing with the boogie stuff is that the gain, like the gain on that last tune, I mean, it's pretty high gain, but it wasn't nearly. It was probably just 70%. To get that, I mean, and that was the Mark IV emulation channel. I could have switched it to Insane,
yeah,
which is another channel on the Mark V. I didn't even need that, you know. But it really depends on what you're trying to play. You know?
And how did you mic that?
SM57.
That's an SM57. Yeah. And then what speaker are in each of those amps? Are they Celestians or are something else?
Whatever the factory standard Mesa boogies they're using. I don't know if they're using the Black Shadow or whatever those things were called.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't change anything.
Well, maybe the people in our chat room can actually provide that information because they have provided the information that your Mesa Boogie Express is 25 watts with two AL34s.
Ah.
And they also said it sounds awesome.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I love that little amp. I actually replaced the tubes for the first time a few months ago, and I bought tubes, and there were stickers on the tubes, and I didn't take the stickers off. So when the amp heated up, the smell in the room was like, what's going on? And it was the stickers melting on the tubes. I'm like, why would you put stickers on tubes? Oh, well.
Now, I'm going to play one more clip that you gave us, and this kind of shows the clean sound.
And that's the Express that I just said I just got this Ditto looper and a Keeley compressor, and I said I want to use these things.
Okay, and then that you also on the Flow site you can see that setup that you use for that. Let's go ahead and play this clip. Thank you. using a looper to set up that, and then there's something else going on in the background on that lead. I was hearing like a warble in there. What was the other pedal that you were using on that?
It was just like I said, all the loops. Everything was just looped. That's why there was a lot of gaps between each thing, because I was making sure the loop locked in. But yeah, I'm not sure what the warble was. But yeah, it was just like, I think it was like four tracks of guitar and then the lead on top.
Okay. And then you were using, you're using the Demiola.
Yeah, with the
And you're
sound.
Using both pickups, right?
I think I was using the middle pickup. Yeah, I was using both pickups were on.
Together, yeah, because it had more of like a, not an out-of-phase sound, but kind of a little brighter sound than normal, which was kind of cool. And that guitar is just nice. It's got a great tone. I think that what you put on there really shows what it can do with that guitar, but it seems pretty versatile. Now, the other guitar, is it a darker? Is the other PRS, is that a, like you're saying more focused, but is it like a darker sound?
No, actually, it's funny because it really depends on the amp. Because, like I said, with all things being the same, the Custom 24 actually I think is a little brighter, but I think the mid range of the Demiola guitar is a little darker mid range, but I don't know. Anything can be adjusted.
It's cutting. Well, in that clip though, it really cuts with clean.
Mm-hmm.
Fretboy in the chat room saying it's a 12-inch Celestion G12 and those are bright speakers, as
vintage
it is.
Vintage 30, actually.
Oh, vintage 30.
Yeah, the G12 is their 12-inch. Anyways.
I'm sorry, I can't read. It's okay. Yeah, anyway, but the it's cutting really well. I mean, it's just that clean sound really does work. Now, what were you using? Now, if we can talk a little bit about the Incendio album coming up too, because you just explained on your song Reaching for Infinity what you use. What did you use on the Incendio album?
Well, obviously I mean 99% of the record is JP and I playing our Pedro Maldonado guitars and Lisa playing her Marcelino Lopez for the nylon strings, and then we use a bunch of different acoustic guitars and bouzouki and stuff like that. But for my solo, I use the Custom 24 PRS through the Mark V, and I think on that one I actually engaged the EQ.
You use the EQ.
Yeah, there's like I said, there's one song where JP and I trade off back and forth on the nylon string, and then we kick in and we trade off in distortion, and the guitars are really overdriven, and it really kind of is. It's a kind of a fast Middle Eastern style track. And it just sounds really kind of neat with the back and forth electrics over the top of like these Dumbeks and Darbukas and these other kind of Middle Eastern instruments going.
Now, did he, just out of curiosity, was JP using his Mesa Boogie?
No, I think he actually used Amplitude or something. I think he's been doing that lately. He's got a lot of amps, but I think he really liked, I'm 90% sure he used Amplitude or something in the computer.
I'm going to have to ask him that when Incendio comes here, when we have all of you.
So, not to put you on the spot here, but you did bring a very cool little, I don't know what to call it, practice tool, but I'm sure it's meant for other things, but you use it for practicing. Can you talk about the little the drone sound that you have that you brought with us and show us how that helps you work in different modes and scales?
Yeah, I got this thing from this company called Rogini, which is a digital Tanpura. And it creates the drone that you hear in a lot of like Indian music, but it really allows you to just kind of solo over, over a single note, so you can get like a drone thing going. You can do modal stuff.
So he's leaning over now to turn it on and then show us how he uses that. Thank you.
great. That thing sounds like the real deal.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun. You can practice like different modes. That was like a Phrygian kind of thing, but you could do like a Mixolydian or whatever, and just practice without having to constantly hit your bass string or your guitar. You get a nice drone. You can change the key and everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, with all the stuff that you've done now, you're in post-production now on the Incendio album. You had just finished this new single, Inspiracion is already out. Where do you want to go? Where are you itching to push yourself guitar-wise, both electric and acoustic?
Well, obviously with the new Incendio album, it's the most progressive thing we've done, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it, because it really has the heart of what we do, which is kind of this world fusion acoustic bass guitar as the voice of the band, but at the same time we've been sneaking in the electrics. We try not to do too gratuitously, but it's gotten to be a point where we're really kind of like, hey, this works, you know, this works for the song. For my solo stuff, I guess, it's kind of more along the same lines. I want to see how far I can blend in the electric guitar with still an instrumental acoustic sensibility, but bring it more to the forefront as opposed to just a feature. Like, okay, yeah, on track number 3, I play electric for like 5 seconds. You know, it's like, okay, well, that's more integrated, and try to integrate it more, because I miss it. You know, I really like having that that tool available.
Yeah, I like also too, from listening to the full track Reaching Infinity. You, my personal thing too is do some more steel string. It a lot of what you do works really well for that guitar too. I mean, I love the nylon string and your electric stuff. I've always been a fan of that, but I mean, the steel string is really kind of cool. You get some interesting timbres on that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what we come up with, and then of course JP Lees and I we sit around, and who knows what we're gonna do. We'll maybe be playing a bunch of mandolins next record or something.
So what steel string guitar do you actually play?
I have a James Goodall Grand Concert that I got like 10 years ago, and I just love that guitar.
So it's got a much wider body. So.
No, actually, the it's more of a Martin style. It's a cutaway, single cutaway. I didn't put a pickup in it. I just didn't want to cut into it, and I just it's part of me. Oh, it'd be really cool to play live, but I don't want to put a pickup in it. And so if I get another steel string to play live, I'll get that. But the James Goodall, he's in Hawaii, and those guitars are just amazing. The action on that thing, I had it set so low, it's like a it's like a Les Paul or something. The action's so low on this guitar. It's got 12s on there. It doesn't buzz.
Amazing. That is amazing. We're close to the end. Before we go, and I'm going to play another clip from Reaching for Infinity where you hear this guitar, the electric guitar lead. I just want to mention a couple of things. One, first of all, is go to the iTunes App Store or Reverb Nation for the Android version, and you got to check out the Jim Stubblefield app. It's pretty cool. It gives you all this information on new music, what he's doing, photos, videos, you name it, it's all in there, and it's a cool little guy. I downloaded it a couple of weeks ago, and it's kind of interesting to check everything out. So check that out. Also to www.guitarexotica.com. That's the main website for Jim. Also, Jim Stubblefield-Guitarist, the Facebook page, and also check out his YouTube channel. He's got some really cool stuff where he's demoing a lot of these amps, combos and effects, and the guitars. He goes through, there's a few demos of his Paul Reed Smiths, and you should check them out because they sound great. They really do sound amazing.
Yeah, the other thing to check out on there is his strumming techniques, going
yes.
through how to do all the crazy different... gypsy and Spanish different strumming techniques, and breaks them down to show you how to do it. It's pretty neat to see.
Yeah, we didn't get a chance tonight to go. We were talking earlier before the show about the differences of using strumming as opposed to picking, but we'll get into that's just another excuse to have you come back. Also, too, all his music is on iTunes, Reverb Nation, and Amazon. Are you on CD Baby too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so CD Baby. So check all of that stuff out. It's really really interesting stuff. Also, too, I want to thank you. It's just been a real pleasure. It's really fun to have you on the show, and we'll definitely got to have you back. Well, we're going to have you back next
thank
month
you so much.
With Incendio. So what I want to leave everybody is This is the end segment of the Reaching for Infinity. You're going to hear him playing his the classical guitar. He's going to be doing a lead riff into that, and then he goes into the electric guitar. So this is a first. They're going in. They're rocking out now. So it's going to be, this is going to be an exciting time. So anyway, good night. Oh, wait a minute.
We should also mention that next week we have Brian Wampler from Wampler Pedals will be our guest next week.
Yes, that should be pretty interesting. Okay, so I got to find the clip. It's right here. All right, good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. Thank you again, Jim.
Thank you.
And this is Reaching for Infinity, the end segment of it.